Life can be described as a vain attempt to gain glory and to avoid grief. All of us like the glory. None of us like grief. If we could chart our life, we would chart our life as just a gradual incline to glory, to success, to victory. But when God charts our life, He charts it with tornadoes and storms and valleys and tsunamis and heartache and tragedy. And we say, no, God, I want the glory, but I don't want the grief. And what we learn today from Romans chapter 8, you can't have glory unless you go through grief. Because if there is no grief, there will be no glory. But when you learn to depend upon Jesus through times of grief and through times of suffering, then Jesus and God the Father will exalt you in due time, and He will give you glory. This morning, three truths about the benefits of suffering. And you say, I don't like suffering. Suffering's not fun. Suffering is not enjoyable. Suffering, a lot of times, is the best thing that ever happens to Christians. Sermon I've entitled, Suffering to Success. First truth, notice, verse 18, the reality of suffering. Verse 18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So we live in a world of floods and famines, of droughts and diseases, of suffering and sicknesses, of tornadoes and tsunamis. Every person in this room joining us by way of live stream and television, you have been through seasons of suffering, or you are in a season of suffering, or you're headed to a season of suffering. Suffering, whether you like it or not, is inevitable and it's inescapable. Benjamin Franklin said, the only thing that is certain in life, you remember, is death and taxes. Well, I hate to disagree with our founder, but the other thing that is inevitable, suffering. If you have a pulse, you're going to go through seasons of suffering. And what you should know, if you are close to the Lord, and the closer you get to the Lord, probably is going to mean you're going to go through more seasons and tests of suffering. Now, in your verse 8, look at what it says again. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be. Sufferings now, glory is coming, shall be revealed in us. Success usually comes at the expense of suffering and sacrifice. It was true in the life of Job. Great suffering before the glory showed up. True in the life of Joseph, great suffering before the glory showed up. True in the life of Jacob, seasons of suffering before the glory showed up. True in the life of Jesus, suffering before the glory showed up. And it will also be true in your life as well. You're in verse 18. Look down at verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. So why is there so much fighting, fussing, feuding in our world? Adam and Eve. Sin. That's why there is. Because we live in a sin-cursed world, all of creation is groaning and it is suffering and it's unavoidable. When Adam fell, the creation was plunged into chaos and it will never be redeemed until Jesus comes. So we've been singing about it. Come, Jesus, come. Literally, the mountains, the trees, the rocks are singing the same thing. You just can't hear them because they are suffering. They are groaning. You say, I don't know. I don't know if I look down at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We live in the reality of the groan. The earthquakes, the floods, the tsunamis, the tornadoes, the physics, the law of entropy. Things are not evolving and getting better. Things are devolving and they are getting worse. That's where we live. And you say, why is it? Listen, sin. That's why it is. Our world is groaning. You're in verse 22. You look at verse 23. Not only is creation groaning, but we are groaning. Look at verse 23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. When Adam fell, he lost his position. The king of the jungle was not to be the lion. It was to be Adam. And now we live in a sin-cursed world. And sometimes, a lot of times, it's just frustrating. It's just, we groan, and the answer is what the choir is just saying. Come, Jesus, come. Relieve us from all of this craziness that we're living in. But it's inescapable, and it's inevitable. Number one, the reality of suffering. Secondly, the reckoning of suffering. So, preacher, how do we deal with it? Do we just pull the covers back over our head and just say, I'm not getting out into this nasty world? Grief and glory is a theme that is found throughout Scripture, and it always comes in that order. Grief always comes before glory. Most of the time, most Christians want the glory, but hold the grief. Now, when I go to order anywhere, I'm going to say, hey, give me a hamburger. I don't want lettuce. I don't want tomato. I don't want pickle. I'm telling what I don't want. You can't do that in life. Hey, I want the good stuff. Don't give me the bad stuff. Don't work like that. Look at verse 18. The key to dealing with suffering. For I reckon. Reckon is a bookkeeping term. It's a banking term. It refers to balancing a ledger, or in the old times, balancing scales. If you put grief on one side of the scale or one side of the ledger, and you put the glory that's coming that you're going to get because of the grief that you got, the glory is going to far outweigh the grief every single time. That's what he's saying. God uses problems. God uses difficulties to make us into the people he wants us to be. And there's no way that you can get there without grief, without sorrow, and without trouble. Let me illustrate it like this. I don't know nothing about this. So ladies, listen, I don't know nothing about birthing no babies. But so I'm told, there is no pain like birthing a baby. Now I hear that kidney stone and I've been through that. It's pretty buff. But there's nothing like birthing no baby. But when that baby arrives, something happens. And the glory of having that gorgeous, perfect baby, grandbaby, outweighs, I don't know anything about it, ladies, the grief, the pain, the sorrow of childbirth. That's what he's saying. The glory is going to outweigh the grief. No, another way, probably not as good as way. I do not like flour. If you were to bring me a bowl of flour, I'm not touching it. You bring me a box of Little Debbie's, I'll eat them all day long. I'm not touching the flour, not touching the shortening. You bring me a carton of buttermilk, I'm not touching it. But you ladies, you mix it all together and bring me some of those homemade biscuits with a lot of butter, I'm going to eat them. And you can tell I have eaten them. And eat them and eat them and eat them. Hey, I don't like the ingredients, but I like the result. That's what he's saying is, if you want to get to glory, you got to have the ingredients of grief and suffering. God wants us to be patient. So what does he do? He puts us into situations where we have to wait. And wait. And wait. And some of us, we're just not good at waiting. God wants us to be loving. So what does he do? He puts us into situations where there's no love. So that we can demonstrate the love of Christ in an environment where there is no love of Christ. That's what he's talking about. Through problems, through difficulties, through heartaches, and through heartbreaks, God is bringing about glory in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." You say, wait a minute, it doesn't seem light right now. It seems overwhelming. I cannot take it. Some of you are saying, it doesn't seem that it's just for a moment. It seems that I have been in this grief for a long, 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 long time. That's part of the verse. It works for us a far more exceeding, look at it, eternal. You get that? Eternal weight of glory. So the grief that you're going through, some of you need to get a hanky and start waving it right now. The heartache that you're going through, the heartbreak that you're going through, you say, oh, it's overwhelming. Oh, it's pressing me down. It's pushing. It's no fun. For all of eternity, you are going to be reaping glory because of the difficulty and the grief and the trouble that you suffer through here. Can I get a witness? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? A weak one, but I'll take it. Key, look back at the verse 18, is reckon. The word reckon is you got to look past the pain to the glory. God uses suffering in our lives. It's through suffering that he perfects. It's through suffering that he establishes. It's through suffering that he strengthens and he makes us into the image of his son. You will never be like the Lord Jesus without suffering and without difficulty. Our problem is this. We want glory without suffering. We want resurrection power without being conformed to his death. We want Easter Sunday resurrection without having to go through Good Friday crucifixion. And you never get Easter Sunday resurrection without Good Friday crucifixion. Now let me just put it down where every person in this auditorium can understand. But I'm going to tick off a few people, so just I apologize in advance. How many of you like going to the dentist? Now forgive me, dentist hygienist, forgive me the dentists that are in the room. I'm sorry. How many of you like going to the dentist? I see zero hands waved. I know, that's what I'm talking about. Come on now, I'm thankful for the dentist. But when they bring out those machines and they just start drilling, my blood pressure goes up. And I'm thankful for the good dentist in the world. Although I have used some that weren't so good. They come with those shots. And those needles just seem like really long. And they're trying to massage my gum before they poke me in it. And I just, pardon me, I don't even want to get onto the hygienist. Hey, I don't like going to the dentist. Don't be offended, dentists that are in the room. But we do like having teeth that don't rot out. Amen? We do like having nice looking teeth. So therefore, you don't get the one without the other. There's some things in life you just have to deal with in order to get the desired result. So it is with suffering. You got to deal with suffering in order to get to glory. I made one other note. Parents, when you try to rescue your children from difficulty and heartache and burdens, you're abusing and you're hurting your children. They learn more by going through heartaches and going through difficulties and learning to deal with the injustices of life. We live in a world that's groaning. We are groaning because it's just not fair. How do we grow through it? By leaning on Jesus. And when you encourage your children to do the same, rather than you trying to rescue them every time so that they don't have to deal with difficulty, you're hurting your children when you do that. That was for free. Number two, the reckoning of suffering. Number three, and I'll be done. Notice the reward of suffering. Verse 19. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Our world that has been ruined by sin will one day be restored by Jesus. When God finished the creation of the world, he said, behold, it is very good. When Adam fell, it became a groaning creation. One day Jesus will make it a glorious creation, and it will be the best place you ever live. Some of you say, oh, I love where I live. No. When Jesus restores this world, it is going to be the greatest place. You cannot even imagine how. Let me just show it to you. The animal world is going to be restored. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Can you imagine what that day is going to be like? Hey, I don't know nothing about that. Tori and I were at the zoo the other day, and we took a picture, and there's a tiger right behind us. But thankfully, there was a big protective glass between us, so the tiger didn't eat us up. In that day, they won't be aggressive. They will be friends. So your little 3- and 4-year-old will lead around King of the Jungle, the lion, roar by a leash. That'll be the day. Not only will the animal world be destroyed, the mineral world will be destroyed. Isaiah 35 verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. You think the most barren piece of real estate you've ever seen. When Jesus comes, it's going to be fertile and it's going to be blossoming like you can only imagine. Isaiah 35 verse 6. Then shall the lame man leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitations of dragons where each shall lay shall be grass and reeds and rushes. Hey, I'm looking forward to this. The vegetable world is going to be restored. Isaiah 55 verse 12. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth with you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. They won't need a preacher to come and say, come on, y'all, clap now. No. The trees can say, if you don't want to clap, we're going to clap ourselves. And the trees have some rhythm and they're putting it down for Jesus. That's going to be the greatest place you ever live. Look on to the verse 13. I like this. Get my hanky out and start waving it. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree. Can you imagine no thorns? I should get an amen out of that. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You say, what's it talking about? Talking about the millennium. When Jesus comes, we were just singing about it, when Jesus comes to rule and reign over the earth for 1,000 years, that's what he's talking about. Now look at verse 23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit within us. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. We're groaning at the injustices of the world, the unfairnesses of the world, the wickedness of the world, the mistreatments of the world. This is just not right. How do we deal with it? Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The older we get, our body just groans. We start to grunt the older we get, and we groan the older we get. Everything we have starts coming to pieces. We just can't see like we used to see. Your spirit begins to groan, waiting for redemption of your body, when you will be given a brand new body when Jesus comes back. This is the glorious redemption of the body. Now let me show you this, and I'll wrap it up. Until Jesus comes, how do we make it? Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, they're going to put it on the screen. For our citizenship, our conversation, is in heaven. So you got to realize that you're not a resident of North Carolina, of America. This is just a temporary hotel stay, if you will. Your citizenship, you belong in heaven. For whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall, future tense, change our vile body, that it may be fashioned unto like his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Problem. It's not our inward man. Inward man, outward man perish. Inner man is being renewed new babe a day. Problem is our outward man. So how do we make it? Look back at the verse 20. Conversation, citizenship is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we make it. Is in a decaying, in a groaning world where creation is groaning and where our bodies are groaning, we look to Jesus. We depend upon Jesus in every situation, in every scenario. Jesus, I need you. He's already given us a down payment of the Holy Spirit. He said that in verse 23. I need you with the help of the Holy Spirit to help me in this decaying society and this decaying world. And you, key is this verse, verse 20, look to Jesus. Situation comes at 8 o'clock, you look to Jesus. 9 o'clock, you look to Jesus. 10 o'clock, you look to Jesus. 11 o'clock, you just keep looking to Jesus, who has given you the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, He will help you through. Amen? Best way I can illustrate it is like this. Most mornings, I'm trying to take a trek around the block early in the morning so that I don't get fatter than I already am. Well, we have this old dog who, if you come to our house any time of the day, it's usually laying out flat like it's dead to the world. And it's just spread out dead. And he'll look at you, and if you look dangerous, he'll just lay back down. And if you look harmless, he'll look at you, and he'll lay back down. But when I come out of the house, usually about 6:05, 6:10, this dog that is good for nothing realizes I'm going for my little trek around Cavendish Town Road, and this is his opportunity to go chase rabbits. So he jumps up, and he's fired up, and he is running circles around me because we are going on my little track, and he's going to hunt rabbits or cats or whatever he's going to do. Thursday, I came down, and the dog was good for nothing on the back deck. So I'm thinking, yes, I can go do this without the dog disturbing all the neighbors, disturbing all their cats and all their rabbits. So I quietly shut the door, and I'm walking down out of the carport, and sure enough, he hears me. Here comes the dog. He gets to me, and he, I promise you, I'm not exaggerating, he does accidentally double flips to see me. He's looking, he's listening, so that he has something to do. Look at the verse. How do we make it? Looking toward the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's talking about when he returns in the sky, but that's also talking about how you deal with your boss. That's talking about how you deal with your spouse. That's talking about how you deal with your kids. That's talking about how you deal with all of the situation. You look unto the Savior. And when you're focused on your Savior, He, through the indwelling of the Spirit that you have, He is going, look at the verse. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned unto His glorious body? That is going to happen when Jesus comes. That's prophetic. That's what's going to happen. But it is going to happen. It's sanctification when we yield to Him and we deny the flesh. That's what's going to happen. I'm looking to you, Jesus, and transformation takes place in your life and you become more like the Lord Jesus. Amen. This, and I'm done. Years ago, northeastern United States, codfish was big business. And people all over the country wanted to buy codfish from northeastern United States. Well, they had a problem. How do they get it there? And it still tastes like it was freshly caught. Well, they decided, we're just going to freeze it. And they froze it and they shipped it, but when it got there, it just didn't have the flavor like it had been freshly caught. And they said, well, let's just put it in water and just ship it into a container, and we'll ship them live, but we'll ship them in water and they'll get there and majority of them will still be alive, and then maybe that'll work. But when they got there, it didn't, had lost the taste. And they were spongy and mushy. They said, that's just, it didn't work. So one of the owners had this idea. Let's put the enemy of the codfish in the tank we're shipping, the catfish. And that catfish He'll just chase them, and he'll chase them, and he'll chase them, and they'll be running for their life the whole trip. And when they arrive, if they're still alive, they'll still be fresh. And they tried it, and amazingly, when the people tasted, they said, "This tasted better than what you just got out of the ocean." Here's the point. Problems, difficulty, enemies are not put in our life to hurt us. Problems, difficulties, even enemies are put in our lives to make us like Jesus, make us depend upon Jesus, and make us ready to go into a world and shine for Jesus.